Tango Tango Papa 1954, March 10, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from home. It just so happened that I ended up with a load that I picked up in Marietta, Georgia. After I unloaded in Alabama, I ended up coming back to Marietta. And I picked up a load that delivers to Redlands, California. I believe so. I was going to say Redwood City, but I believe it's Redlands. Anyway, just so happened I was driving by on Interstate 40, and so I decided I would just come home and spend the night. And got home late this afternoon, and I'm spending the night, did a little laundry, a few other things. Now I'm recording a podcast. And then I will leave here in the morning. It's still about a little over 1,500 miles from here to Redlands. So got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the load is scheduled to deliver at 10 a.m. Monday morning Pacific time. So that should work out pretty well. So in the meantime, I've got a piece of email feedback that I want to read. This is from Jeff. It says, "Tom, you have an amazing way of hitting relevant topics. Your comments about resentment and parents, although meant to tie into your unfortunate dealings on Facebook, was reflective of my Sunday afternoon. I know my teenage son resents me for being hard on him. Being an only son with two older sisters, a long story on my end. I really appreciate your comment about being firm on something and moving on. I just need to learn to move on to improve the situation and not dwell, which probably adds to the level of resentment. I just had to drop this note. Thanks for the reflection you offered me. Have a great, safe week." And that's Jeff in Kansas City. So thank you, Jeff. When it comes right down to it, resentment is every human being's problem, whether we realize it or not. Most of the time we don't realize it. We're the greater society at large, especially entertainment, but it's even in our families, leads us to believe, pop psychology is another one, leads us to believe that, what's that? Oh, I got my phone too close to the— let me move that away from the box, the computer there. Leads us to believe that resentment is normal. It's just normal. It's a normal thing to be resentful. It's good. Good, and, you know, somehow that, you know, it's just a normal thing, and somehow, you know, and not to worry about it. And, of course, that is 180 degrees out of phase with reality. The reality is that resentment is how we play God in our own minds. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis in the Bible, and it said that, you know, kind of paraphrasing, that mankind's problem is that man wants to play God in his own mind. Man, you know, wants to be his God. And, you know, how do you be as God? Well, you think you can resent. And the best way I can describe what resentment is imagine, you know, you're kind of alone there in your own mind. And you're sort of hurling mental thunderbolts at various things that somehow have offended you, as if your thoughts could murder, as if your thoughts could destroy, as if your thoughts could blow something up, and you know, as if you were God eliminating bad things. And of course, it's just an imagination. But the problem is it's not just an imagination. You're murdering in your own mind, although what happens? It has the worst impact is on you initially, and then of course it gives other people justification because they can see the resentment in you, and then it justifies their resentment back. But when you resent, it's like, you know, one description I've used in the past is sort of like battery acid for the soul. It's really bad stuff. You don't want to hang on to it. You can't turn it into a positive. What you need to do is to be able to acknowledge it and then let it go. Now, the problem with relationships is that we have a terrible time being honest with each other. In some cases, it's almost easier to be honest with a stranger than it is being honest with someone, you know, that you're close to, either a relative, especially a relative, especially a close relative. It's very difficult to be honest. I've probably mentioned it before. There's this television show called The Americans, and you know, it's mostly kind of a drama, and it's a crime. I think Amazon has it listed as crime mystery or whatever. But it's about this family that maybe you've watched it before. But it's about this family. They're the husband and the wife are Russian spies. They're KGB planted spies in the United States. And they have their husband and wife, and they're living in a normal house in a normal, like a Washington D.C. suburb neighborhood, Northern Virginia, and they've got, you know, two kids, a boy and a girl. The girl is older, the boy is younger. The girl's name is Paige. She's now a teenager, and they're starting to have problems with her, but the parents are engaged in all kinds of spying and murders and just horrible, horrible things. But at the same time, they're pretending to kind of be a normal mom and dad, and they're trying to raise their kids. But the show is not only about the spy stuff, and there is a lot of action in it, but it's also about a marriage and a family. And in one of the, you know, right now I'm caught up with season 3, and I think there's a new season 4 that's going to be on the FX channel. But since I don't subscribe to cable or satellite anymore, I'll wait until that becomes available, you know, probably a year from now or whenever, or maybe 6 months from now, whenever it becomes the season, and once it's aired and then it becomes available on Amazon, then I'll watch the whole thing, you know, just all, what is it, like 12 episodes or 13 episodes makes up a season, I'll watch the whole thing all at once. But in any case, towards the end of the season 3 of The Americans, they're having problems. They're having big problems with their daughter, Paige. And the mom says something interesting, because the daughter is mad at her parents because she finds out that the parents have been lying to her for years about the status of, you know, kind of the really important stuff without giving too much of the plot away. you know, her life, you know, most of the things, or a lot of the things that the parents have told her and her brother are actually a lie. And so she's all upset about the parents lying to her. And the mom says, Paige, we all lie to each other. And that's just a part of life. We all lie to each other. Now, unfortunately, that's true. That doesn't excuse it. That doesn't make it normal. That doesn't make it okay. But nonetheless, it's true. We do all have a tendency to lie to each other. And why do we lie to each other? Because we're lying to ourselves. It's impossible. If you think about this, just from a logic standpoint, it's impossible to be 100% honest with the people around you, with your relatives, with your friends. It's impossible to be 100% honest as long as you're not 100% honest with yourself. And how many of us are honest? How many of us are 100% honest with ourselves? And that kind of gets down to the crux of the problem. Of existing as a human being, because we have a tendency to want to lie to ourselves. We want to be lied to. We want to be God in our own minds. We want to be as God. And we cannot be. And the only way we can be is through lies, some sort of fantasy. And we find other people, you know, people, places, and things that will help us lie to ourselves. Sort of the supporting lies. Supporting cast. So resentment is not something that you want to just pretend isn't there. The other choice is, you know, resentment comes packaged with its own denial mechanism. So you can have it and not even, you know, you're sort of oblivious to its existence most of the time. Or if you are aware of it, then you can become proud of it. Oh, it's normal. I love my resentment. Everybody should have it. I'll turn it into something positive, I'll be proud of it, and I'll have pride marches based on what it turns me into. Because it resentment, in order to kind of compensate for it, it causes you to become externalized to sort of your, because it, resentment cuts you off from who you could have been. It cuts you off from your natural God-given identity, and it forces you to go to the other, only other alternative is to find other people that will agree with you. And develop a sort of an externalized world or an externalized identity. And so then you're not yourself. So it really isn't something that you want to hang on to. It is something that you should strive to become aware of. And the easiest way, I mention it once in a while, you go to my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that. I have about, four MP3 files that are hosted on my server. You can right-click on them and download them to your device. Burn them to CD, however you want to do it. Play them back on your computer. And they will teach you a very simple meditation technique. There's a line in the Bible, "Be still and know that I am God." So in other words, be still so that the knowing can catch up with you. It's very simple. Be still so that the knowing can catch up with you. That's all. We spend our entire lives, every day, every moment of our lives, most every waking moment of our lives, sort of running away, distracting ourselves, keeping ourselves in 100% distraction mode, so the knowing can't catch up with us, because we see the knowing as a bad thing. Knowing is a bad, that's a big bad conscience. Can't know that. Don't want to know that. Stay distracted. So if you can learn to be still, and this meditation technique is a very simple method of being still and getting your, bringing you your point of awareness. We as human beings, whatever we are, one of the things we have is this point of awareness. And you are not your thoughts. People think, well, I'm my thoughts. No, you're not. That's not you as a human being. We have this point of awareness. And this meditation technique will, if you learn to do it, and it's a pretty simple technique, but if you learn to do it, you can prove to yourself that you, as you're able to be aware without being lost in thought. So this meditation technique will help you learn, help you practice to stay out, to come out of your thoughts. And I'm not saying you can't think. I'm not saying you try to suppress thought, but you come out of it, and you don't have to spend your whole, it doesn't take much. Just practice this every day, especially when you're starting. Practice it 2 or 3 times a day, 10 minutes at a time is enough. It's especially important before you go to bed or before you go to sleep at night. But it's good to do it first thing in the morning when you first wake up, before you start your day. So that's on my website. Give it a try. I can't promise it'll help everybody, but I do believe that it will help most people. And if you find that it helps you, it's up to you to continue it. You can't just do it once and feel better and then, oh, well, that's that. And then you'll then come up with all kinds of stupid excuses that you don't have time to do it. You have to really want. You have to have the want to. You have to really be a searching person. If you're really looking for the truth, you have to be able to persevere. So that's on my website. Give it a try. So, let's see. So, what's going on? I'm trying to think here. I don't remember in the last podcast. I was home a little over a week ago. I did replace the battery in my phone. I've got a Galaxy Note 4 that I've had for about a year now, upwards of a year. Well, I think March 31st it'll be a year that I've had it. And the battery was starting to act weird the last time I was home. And it was, you know, it suddenly dropped from, you know, the first time it dropped from 77% to zero in no time. And then it did the same thing a couple of days later. It dropped from about 50% to 0%. And so when it did it the first time, I went ahead and just ordered the replacement battery. So I got the replacement, and that seems to fix the problem. So that makes me really glad that Note 4 has a user replaceable battery, and that really does give me pause about buying any kind of phone that has a battery that's not user replaceable or not easily user replaceable. So that makes me want to probably I'll just hang on to this phone and see what Samsung does with the Note 6. And of course, with the Note 5, they sealed the battery. They made it so that the user can't get to the battery, and I'm afraid they're going to do the same thing with the Note 6. So that's really annoying. I like the Note 4. I like having the S Pen. I don't use it all the time, but it's handy to have. I like the screen size, the 5.7-inch screen size. I like the fact that I've got the micro SD card slot. I like the fact that I can replace the battery if I want to. And they want to take these things away. They want to make it like Apple. We got to be like Apple and have this beautiful phone, this beautiful design. And I don't care about that. That's stupid. Why are they so stupid? You would think that they would give the customers what they want instead of trying to. They think somehow that if they imitate Apple, that they're going to have Apple's success, and it's just not going to work that way. It may work that way for Apple, and the reason it works that way for Apple, or at least the reason it has up until this point, is because people are worshiping Apple. Apple is a major sort of false religion in modern culture. So manufacturers like Samsung and other ones, not so much. You know, so they need to just make what people want. Make what made them successful in the past. You know, instead of trying to corral people into doing something different. I'm not going to, you know, if the Note 6 doesn't have a replaceable battery, there's a good chance that I'm just going to just keep what I have. It works perfectly well. And, it should last at least another year, if not more. And then keep it, you know, to the point where it's, you know, then when it starts to get long in the tooth and it starts to malfunction, then I'll have to reassess what's available at the time. But I don't think if the Note 6 has a sealed battery, then good chance that I'm just going to skip it, just like I skipped the 5. And Samsung adding in the micro SD card back in isn't enough. I want the whole thing. I want the replaceable battery as well. So, let's see. So, what else? Qualcomm. My company sent me a message yesterday saying that they've added in. I use this TransFlow app in order to send my trips in. I'm able to photograph each sheet using this TransFlow app. It uses the camera as a scanner. Because the camera's high resolution enough to function easily as a scanner, and so it uses the flash, and it sort of documentizes. You take a picture of the document, and it kind of turns it into a scan that looks very much like you'd scanned it on a document scanner, like a desktop document scanner, and so I'm able to, take a picture of each piece of paper that makes up a trip, and then send that off. And it all just goes, without having to go into the truck stop. It used to be that you'd have to mail stuff in. You go back before, not that many years ago, back into the 90s, and even the early 2000s, you would actually have to mail the trip in. You'd have the physical paperwork. I'd have to fill out a trip report, and then I'd have all the receipts if I had to pay cash for anything, and then I would have the signed bill of lading, and then I would, it used to be that we'd put that in an envelope, company provided envelope, business reply envelope, drop it in the mail, and the company would get it several days later. And then it got to where they were doing they had these overnight services, and so they would send these things off overnight, and the company would get them the next day. And then, so what happens, fast forward a few years, and then they started the scanning processes. So you had these scanners, these scanning kiosks and truck stops, which they still have. You'd have these scanning kiosks, and so you take your trip paperwork into the truck stop, and then scan it, and then it would send it off, via the internet to the company. Well, now the past couple of years, I've been using. They've had, the TransFlow has had an app. They've got one for iOS, and they've got one for Android, which I use, the Android one. And so that makes it possible for me to just very conveniently scan in the trip documents using the phone's camera, and then it sends it right off to the company, and eliminating even the necessity to go into the truck stop. The only time I do that is if I've got really too many pages. If I got lots of pages, then really need to use a truck stop scanner. But if it's 14 pages or under, then most of the trips are not, they're less than 14 pages. That works just fine with the app. But what they've done now, they've added the capability to route the Qualcomm messages through the TransFlow app, and it comes through as a sort of a chat message, and so they're just now enabling that, and they're beginning to experiment with that, and that actually works. I received a message this morning, and I was able to respond to the message right on my phone, and it went right back to my company. So it's sort of like a little chat area in that TransFlow app that works through the Qualcomm. So that's pretty slick. They're experimenting with it, but that is going to end up being pretty handy as long as it's reliable. It'll be very handy to receive the Qualcomm messages directly on the phone, as well as the Qualcomm. It's still going to come through to the Qualcomm, but the Qualcomm sometimes, if the truck's turned off after so many hours, the Qualcomm shuts down, or let's say I'm not in the truck, then it's useful as long as this thing is really reliable. Its use, and that's to be determined by this test that they're running. It'd be useful to be able to receive those messages and really not have to, for example, let's say that it's time for me to go back to work, and so sometimes they'll send a message, I'll go out, before I leave, I'll go out and turn the thing on, make the Qualcomm come on, and they could have already sent some sort of message, or I will send them a message, and then usually they'll respond back within a few minutes, once I tell them, hey, I'm ready to come back to work today, then they'll respond a few minutes later, or maybe not, and I keep walking back out to the truck to see if they've sent a message. Well, if it's reliably coming also to my phone via that TransFlow app, then that eliminates the need to continue to walk back out there. Or I could be another place where that would be useful is like I'm inside of a truck stop eating, and that can take upwards of an hour, usually an hour and 15 minutes or so, a typical, like if we go into Denny's or something. Then, there's a message, then I could receive that right on the telephone through that TransFlow app, the chat area in it. So that's pretty handy. So that's a new feature that they have added to the TransFlow app, and my company is beginning to experiment with. So pretty happy about that. That's a nice use of existing technology. Most drivers already are they have some, especially if you've got a smartphone, and most people do, but the majority of people nowadays do have smartphones. So you've already got the smartphone. We've already got the Qualcomm. Why not tie the two together and make that even more convenient, improve the communication even that much more? And so this is a, I'm glad that they've done this. This will be, make things even that much more convenient. So anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to an end. And what time is it? It's 9:30 already. The time flies, doesn't it? So anyway, hope everyone still the week. It's almost Friday. So hope you're having a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.